This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
There's a new casualty of the housing crisis, reverse mortgages.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in just a moment. First, this morning, the country's biggest reverse mortgage lender, Wells Fargo, says it's done with them. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich now. And the bank found those risky types of mortgages a bit too risky.
In a reverse mortgage, instead of you sending a mortgage payment to the bank sends a check to you. Basically, the bank gives you a loan based on the value of your paid-off house. You can get one if you're at least 62. Now, Wells Fargo is out, and Bank of America stopped writing new reverse mortgages earlier this year. Nicholas Retsinas is director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard.
One more door is shut in terms of how seniors can find the money to survive as they age. And it wasn't a product that was wildly popular, but for a number of seniors, it was an option.
The problem is home values. A reverse mortgage ends when the senior dies or fails to pay property taxes or home insurance. In whatever case, somebody, either an heir or the bank, has to sell the house and pay off the loan. Nowadays, Retsinas says that's not so easy.
It's a wonderful product in a time of rising home values. When values are falling, it becomes a more difficult product.
Reverse mortgages are still available from a dwindling number of banks. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
And now to the global perspective, what's happening in business at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. A college admissions group is accepting feedback through this weekend before it decides whether to ban one popular tactic for recruiting international students. College students who come here from other countries bring in an estimated $20 billion a year to the U.S. economy. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
In a video on its YouTube channel, the State University of New York at Plattsburgh tells Chinese students how great life is on campus. In the next 5 years, SUNY wants to almost double the number of international students on its campuses. Mitch Leventhal is head of global affairs for the SUNY system. To recruit more of these students, he says the university is hiring agents in China, India, and other countries. The agents get a 10% cut of each student's first year of tuition.
The international students do pay about 2.5 times the tuition of our domestic students. And so where we have capacity to absorb additional students, it is helpful to get students who can help cover the cost of the education, which generally is underfunded.
Colleges are also looking overseas to make their campuses more diverse. But critics say to earn commissions, agents might push students into schools that aren't a good fit or falsify documents to get them in. The National Association for College Admission Counseling wants to ban its member colleges from paying commissions. David Hawkins is the group's director of public policy.
Our problem is not with the use of agents. We see that as a reality that, in fact, is only likely to be more of a trend. Our primary concern is with the way they're paid.
It's illegal to pay anyone recruiting domestic students a commission. Peggy Blumenthal is with the Institute of International Education. She says the same should be true of international recruiters.
If you pay them a regular salary, then they are essentially an extension of your admissions office. But if you pay them per head, there is going to be a tremendous pressure on them to produce bodies, whether or not those bodies are going to thrive at that particular campus.
At SUNY, Mitch Leventhal would rather see commission-based agents regulated. He's set up a group that certifies recruiters. Comments on the proposed ban on commissions are due Monday. The admissions group plans to come out with a final rule in September. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Well, global shares are mostly lower at the moment. Worries about Greek debt continue to cast a shadow despite a reshuffling of the prime minister's cabinet in Greece. The maker of the BlackBerry, Research in Motion, said profit fell 10% in the last quarter and lowered its guidance in the wake of stiff competition from iPhones and Androids. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained a little and added 64 points, about 0.5%, to end the day at 11,961.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
The solar power industry will be making and marking a significant moment in the sun today. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar is expected for the groundbreaking of a major solar and steam power plant being built near the California-Arizona border. It is the biggest of its kind. And Marketplace's Bob Moon reports it's taking solar to a new level.
Picture a sea of long, slightly curved mirrors lined up row after row in the wide-open Mojave Desert of Southern California, all of them focusing sunlight onto pipes and creating steam to power electrical turbines.
When it's all finished, it's going to be over 1,000 megawatts of capacity, which means it could power over 300,000 homes. That's the size of many small to medium-sized American cities.
Solar Trust of America's Edward Sullivan is billing this as the world's largest solar facility with an output that'll match other power-generating methods.
It's entering into the realm of coal-fired power plants and nuclear plants, and that's the first time solar energy has ever entered into that scale.
The facility is the biggest of four projects being fast-tracked in the same area, roughly midway between Palm Springs and Phoenix. Sullivan says there's the rub. It's limited to areas that get intense sunlight.
We need very, very high energy from the sun, and you really only get that in the American Southwest.
The project is being backed by federal recovery funds. Sullivan says it's expected to create 1,000 direct construction jobs and employ 200 permanently. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, my dad always told me my mom married him because he drove a Cadillac Eldorado. But now I'm not so sure that's true. Because a new study, fellas, by several universities in Texas and Minnesota says, well, while women may be initially impressed with your flashy sports car, they don't necessarily see you as a long-term prospect. In fact, they see a man boasting a spiffy ride as someone who's promiscuous and a bit shallow. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. We're online at marketplace.org. You can grab the podcast while you're there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It's not just professionals at the U.S. Open hitting the links this weekend. Can the president and the speaker enjoy a round of bipartisanship?
Somewhere between number one and number 18, you find time to bring up what you need to bring up, and it works.
Or not. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Congressional Golf Caucus, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news as well, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.